Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, the show for foodies and the like. That means real foodies, wannabe foodies, food snobs, which are similar to foodies but much more bougie, like about the cheese they sprinkle on their pasta. It has to be a specific type and year of Romano or they won't touch it. There's the fake foodies, where they call themselves foodies but don't know diddly squat about food. They know they like to eat, but that's about where it ends. Then there's people that I like to call foodie adjacent, which are friends and family of foodies that get dragged everywhere and forced to eat weird things, and they've learned to put up with it. A real honest-to-goodness foodie is one who tries everything, who can find the awesome in the plain and simple, who appreciates a dive, or a sausage on a stick, or spends 10 minutes putting seasonings and just the right kind of butter on their popcorn. Basically, the kind of foodie that finds the righteous in the rudimentary, the delicious in the suspicious, the insane in the plain. Anyone can appreciate a $400 dinner at a place no civilian can get a table. You don't have to be a foodie for that. I know that because there isn't really a terribly high percentage of foodies to straights, population-wise, and those places seem to be doing quite well. Those are the people that are trying to impress a date, or an employer, or get laid or something. And in my opinion, anyone who buys expensive champagne is a sucker. It's no better than cheap champagne. In fact, the almond-flavored kind from Wilson Peak Creek is probably the tastiest one, best flavor, most versatile in champagne-based cocktails, and won't give you as big a headache. Foodies are like a minority, and that's why we tend to stick together. Like profiteroles, if you will. So, foodies, this is your show. Today on Food Fight, we'll be talking about kitchen knives. Which ones do you really need? You may be very surprised, because you don't need that many. And later, we'll be curing headaches, along with the big dumb brother-in-law of headaches known as the migraine, with food. Welcome to the show. So, how many kitchen knives, Chef Marcus? I'm looking in your direction.
Oh, yeah, I see. It's weird.
Since because you know about this stuff, plus you're the only one here. kitchen knives, there's a lot of them. There's a ton of different kinds of knives. People think they need to buy them all, put them in an expensive knife block, you know, have the sharpening thing, the honing steel, the nice magnetic strip on the wall in their kitchen. How many kitchen knives do you, a professional chef, really think people need?
At best, doing a lot of thinking about this, three. You got your all-purpose chef knife or a small cleaver. You have your bread knife and you have your paring knife.
Okay, so you got a little sharp knife.
A little sharp knife, a big sharp knife, and a bread knife.
And a big, sharp, serrated knife.
Yes.
Long, skinny, serrated
knife. Yeah, everything else, I mean, if you're getting into specialty, if you're cutting your own meats, if you're butchering your own stuff, of course, you need that. But the every family, no, that's ridiculous.
You don't need all that stuff. What the heck are you going to do with a tourné knife?
Yeah. If you don't know what a tourné knife is for, don't buy it.
Well, it's also funny looking.
It is funny looking.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of weird, little, squiggly, short, kind of U-shaped blades out there, and you're just looking at what is that? What U-shaped fruit am I going to be cutting with this thing? It's a special knife that I don't even think anyone needs ever.
I haven't seen a tourné something in, I want to say, 10 years in the market.
Well, they're still making them, they're still trying to sell the original inventory.
Well, no, like a tourné potato. So it kind of looks like a football, the way you cut it. It's kind of oval-shaped, and other vegetables like that is what a tourné knife is perfect for.
Yeah,
Nobody's doing that anymore.
When do you do that? Nobody does that.
Nobody does that.
I can't recall seeing a football-shaped potato on
my plate. It's, you know, fancy for the 70s, but we kind of got past that.
Everything's fancy for the 70s. You remember 8-track tapes? That was fancy for the 70s.
That was fancy for the 70s.
Hey, man, don't touch my 8-track.
Don't touch.
I spent $15 on that thing. Don't touch my 8-track. Yeah, that's the time period we're talking about. That's when these knives were in their heyday.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my favorite knife. Just about anyone who works with food has a favorite knife.
Yes.
There's the chef's knife. Okay, that's got to be the most important knife.
Yeah, you can use that if you want. That could be your only knife, and you can use that for everything if you keep it sharp and take care of it.
You can't really cut bread with it, though.
You can if you're slow.
Well, you can, but you're going to crush the bread. You're going to get those skinny little slices, and then you're going to have to fluff them back up again. I hate that.
If you keep it sharp, you can cut bread with it.
Well, that's really true about anything.
Yes.
You shouldn't have a knife that sharp around your house. I mean, little kids, you know, they're like, I'm going to be like mama. I'm going to be like papa who cooks with food all the time. And I'm going to whip out this big thing and chop up a banana with it.
Oh, my little kid has her own knife, her own couple knives. They're,
see, so do mine. That's just super cute. But we're
a little
not
on
normal.
The dull side. So I'm not worried about them getting cut.
They yeah,
cut
it's like, bananas. Oh, no, sweetie. You can't use that knife. That's too sharp. Use this recently sharpened Henkel over here instead. That one's perfect for you. Yeah. That one's an 8-inch chef knife instead of a 10-inch chef knife.
Exactly.
You go, girl, with that one. So there's two different sizes usually of chef knives.
Yeah.
And this is a big machete looking knife. It's got a nice big 2-inch to 2.5-inch thick side of the blade, and it tapers down to a point.
Yeah, and the backbone of this should be about 1/8 of an inch thick.
So in other words, really thick.
Yeah, you want heavy. I like heavy knives. I like what they're called. They're called forged knives as opposed to poured knives. Poured knives are the skinny ones, and if you use it properly, grabbing it will cut you. Not the blade, but the back dull
end. It's got that back end on it.
Yeah, that's just really gets thin, and it doesn't work right.
You want a forged knife. So when you're shopping for a knife, you can go up to the cashier. Mm-hmm. You can say, which one of these was hand-hammered by a blacksmith in the 1800s?
Exactly.
That's what you have in your head when you say forge.
Well, I know it's machine done now because they make billions of them,
nope,
but it's still...
No, in my brain, people are still doing this, and it's a worthy career. It's something you can be an apprentice. You can burn your hand off with a crucible, you know, accident, sort of a thing. And it's like they heat it, they hammer it. They heat it, they hammer it.
They heat it, you know, they hammer it. They heat it, they dip it in water. They heat it,
very medieval.
Hammer.
This is what I have in my head is people making knives even today. Yes. I don't think people actually do that anymore.
No. It's factory.
Wouldn't it be so cool if they did?
There is a couple people who are still blacksmithing who you can order knives for. I can find
them. Look at Ren Fairs.
But yeah, exactly.
Hard to find those guys.
Yes, and
you know, it's like
pretty
a traveling
penny.
Circus. These Ren Fairs, you gotta like follow them like the Grateful Dead or something.
We have one in May here, just south of Disneyland.
Yeah, but why would you go? You're going to walk up to their fake blacksmith and say, can you make me a really nice kitchen knife?
Well, it's not fake. I used to work at Renaissance Fairs. Those guys are serious.
While you're at it, give me an identical sword like D'Artagnan used to use.
Have you seen?
That
yeah.
might be pretty good.
Yeah.
I want to use a real sword in my kitchen for all my stuff. Like you throw a tomato up in the air and you use a samurai sword to push right down the middle. The tomato goes to either side in slow motion because someone threw it at your face.
Yes.
Yeah. That sort of thing. That's what I want to be doing in my kitchen.
That's a lot of fun. I see that in the first Turtles movie and a couple other movies now where people have swords in the kitchen. And it was on one Iron Chef where the guy pulled out a sword and did all his Iron Chef work with a sword as opposed
to... So he was using it. He was holding the blade, I have to imagine.
Oh, yeah. You want control. Whenever you grab a knife, you want to hold the blade. You want to pinch the blade and then your ring finger, your middle finger, ring finger, and pinky are the only things wrapped around the handle.
I call the middle finger your communicating finger.
Your communicating finger,
yeah.
Yes.
Put your communicating finger on there.
Yeah.
And then your ring finger around the bottom. So you want to have your hand pretty much half on the handle and half on the blade.
Yeah. I mean, if that
you
scares
great
you.
Control. It's all freaky for people that aren't used to holding a knife that way. I mean, I didn't hold a knife that way for like years.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to get used to it.
And I have that pet peeve when I'm in the kitchen and I see someone else, like, you know, working. Someone comes up and they put their finger on the blade, like pushing down, and they hold it with their pointer finger out just with the blade.
Yeah. It's helpful. So it's the knife is going to go where your finger is pointing.
No, that's wobbly.
But that's logic, right?
It's logic, yeah.
You know, it's best not to start fights with other people in the kitchen when they are wielding knives.
Yeah, but I know he's doing it wrong, so I'm pretty sure I'll win.
Well, you're also bigger.
So well,
you know
that
I'm not.
Helps.
I don't have size on my side. People will be like holding up the knife. What did you say?
I'm like, worst case scenario, you're going to chop some of the fat off me. I don't care. Let's go.
So chef knife, also called what? Utility knife.
No, it's not a utility knife.
Utility knife is smaller.
It is a long,
thing.
Skinny kind of paring knife.
It's good for filleting fish. And you don't need a special knife for filleting fish.
No, you don't. I mean, if you're going to do it all the time, buy one. Of course. Enjoy it. But if you do it once in a blue moon, then use your chef knife.
Yeah, you totally don't need it. It's called a chef knife. You need a good one.
If
you are a relatively little sized person, like myself, you would get like an 8-inch one.
There's 6 inches too. 6 to 8 inches.
Those are for, I don't know.
I'm going to be racist to Asian small people. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Marcus said it first. That's 888-344-1170. to call in and complain about Marcus.
Please do.
But yeah, the smaller the person, the smaller a utility knife you can get away with.
Exactly.
A chef knife. So if you're little, like me, go with like an 8-inch.
Yeah.
I like to have a 10-inch knife.
Yeah, me too.
But that again, that's just me. Of course, I like to throw the knife at the wall to see if I can make it stick.
Well, see, I don't do that because I like my knives very, very much.
I don't really like my walls, though. So you can also get a 10-inch knife. If you're a smaller person, there is no hard, fast rule.
No, there's
not. What size knife you need to get. So it's whatever fits comfortably in your hand. You can toss around. You can flip. You can juggle with without cutting yourself.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what you want.
And a paring knife is a small little knife, smaller than a steak knife.
Small enough to pair veggies.
Yeah. And I mean, think of the knife small enough to just take the greens off of strawberries.
Yeah.
And you don't want it
super
sharp.
You can't do that with a chef knife.
You know.
Because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, it's just with the, no, you'd slice your fingertip right off.
Right off.
So,
Yeah, yeah.
And a cleaver.
A cleaver is great if you're cutting bones. If you're airlining chicken, making stock, chopping up.
You can rock them back and forth over herbs.
Yeah.
Herbs. You know, I like herbs, but I also know somebody named Herb. So, I mean, it messes with my head.
I use the side of cleavers to crack nuts, to grind up my nuts. I just smack it and break them open. Same thing with my garlic. I'll have a full head of garlic, and I'll turn the cleaver to the side and just hit it, and all of them will pop open.
And it smashes and crushes, and you can use those things, just the side of them, to crush garlic.
Yeah.
And it works really great. Mm-hmm. I don't actually like garlic crushers.
No.
They're hard to clean.
They are really hard to clean.
And besides, garlic comes pre-mashed now in jars.
And if not, you have a food processor, I hope.
And a cleaver. So a cleaver. I think you're good.
You're good.
You know, as long as you have a cleaver, a chef knife, and the slightly smaller knife, call it a paring knife, call it whatever, get the fillet knife if you like the shape better. It doesn't matter. Just get something you're comfortable with to chop up all your little stuff. Three knives.
Bread knife.
There's like, okay, well, you know what? Rip the bread with your hands. Scoop it into your tub of butter.
And then
you're golden. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's just bread's a lot tastier when you rip it apart.
When it's not flat, like Thomas English muffins have all those nooks and crannies. When it's all cratery, it's
great. You need the nooks. Mm-hmm. You need the nooks. Nooks are very important in life. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, we'll tell you which foods can cure a headache and then which foods will bring it right back, just in case you started to miss it. I'm just kidding. They're called food triggers. Then after that, we'll be covering the epic battle of Splenda versus Agave. Which one will slowly kill you? Don't open that soda and keep it tuned to Food Fight.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life. One meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS. Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. you'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is a man who spreads joy like so much vegan soy butter over gluten-free sprouted cracked wheat bread, Chef Marcus.
I'm really hungry now. I want that. I want some vegan butter with some gluten-free
soy
sprouted
butter.
Soy bread.
You can make soy beans into anything.
It's like dairy.
Even
you
butter.
Can make, yeah.
Even houses, frisbees, toys, things you can write with that computer keyboard right there. Is probably made out of soy.
Soy is probably going to be the new corn. Just watch.
Oh, it will. Soy is the new corn. Sounds like a segment. Today on Food Fight, we're talking about foods that can cure a headache. And then also the foods that trigger them in the first place. By the way, the foods that can trigger them are some of people's favorite all-time foods. When we're done with you, you'll know what not to eat if you want to prevent the headaches. And then what to eat next when you have completely ignored our advice and got a pounding headache from eating the thing we told you not to.
Or you know what to feed your in-laws if you want them to leave earlier for the dinner thing. Here's all this food. Oh, you got headaches, you have to leave? I'm so sorry. That sucks.
Big platter of xylitol and caffeine and and preservatives. And somehow if you can get the nitrates out of a hot dog, give them a big pile of nitrates. That'll get them out.
That'll get them out.
So if you have a headache, and I'm sure you'd be aware of it if you did.
Yes.
You have a pounding horrible pain in your head.
Ow, I have a pounding, horrible pain in my head.
That's just me.
Oh.
That's just the sound. That's just the sultry sound of my voice reverberating off your giant melon of a head. That was Marcus's head.
That was my head.
That wasn't me punching Marcus in the head. That was
that
was the sound of Marcus's head. When a headache strikes, what do? You lie down, you put an ice pack on your head, you pop some pills, and then that's about it.
Well, it depends. If I'm working, I just drink lots of water.
Drink lots of what?
Water.
You say water?
Water.
I have seen you guzzle something else in the kitchen, my friend.
Well, yeah, but I'm not supposed to talk about that.
You're supposed to put the drinking wine in the cooking wine in the food.
Yeah, well, I got to make sure it's good first.
Right, yeah. I got to make sure it's a good year for the whatever box it came in. Oh, 2011. That was a good box
that
year.
That was a good box
That was a really good box year. Baked potato.
Baked potato, really?
Just right in the middle of a conversation. Baked potato.
What?
Yeah.
How?
It's got, alcohol is diuretic, right? So let's say that alcohol brought on your headache.
Yes.
And then you lose electrolytes and potassium, which is an electrolyte. So if you eat potassium-rich foods, it can eliminate your headache.
And potatoes are potassium rich?
A baked potato with the skin.
With the skin.
With the skin. You have to eat the skin. Or you could just eat the skin.
Okay.
Just go around gnawing on the outside of a potato like a little rat. It's one of the best sources of potassium in it. And so you've like you eat a whole potato, that just might be enough potassium to get you out of your headache.
Wow, I would think all the starch and the sugars would bring on a headache. I guess I was wrong.
You were wrong.
I was wrong.
You were dead wrong. Dehydration also causes a lot of headaches.
Yeah,
it's not just being drunk. It's not just being hungover.
Oh, no.
A lot of times, you're just not drinking enough water. So oftentimes, drinking a bunch of water can help, but watermelon is a little bit better.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have a headache and you think it's dehydration, you need water and something else to kind of
something else. You need some essential minerals. You need some stuff that you can get out of veggies and things. Magnesium. Is in watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do is take some watermelon, put some like 2 cups of watermelon chunks, bunch of ice, put a little yogurt in there, a little honey, maybe some ginger, which is also good for headaches.
Yeah, it is.
Throw that in there and put it in a blender and then blend it.
Just Dude, that sounds great, especially on these hot days.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely. I'm going to go home and make that.
So you can have that also as a preventative. Because if you have the magnesium and other stuff and things and enough water in your system, you're good.
Cucumber in there too, right? Because that has magnesium and hydration.
Yep.
Nice.
Other fruits and veggies and stuff that you can put into your food or eat a whole bunch of that include a lot of water are berries, cucumbers, melons, soups, oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal has a lot, so it gets all plump.
Oh, because it has a lot of water in it.
Because it has a lot of water in it. Yeah.
So not granola, but oatmeal?
Yeah, no, granola isn't going to help anyone do anything, ever. Tomatoes, good. Lettuce has a lot of water in it.
Yeah, it's just water and fiber.
You know, if I feel stupid eating a big pile of lettuce. Put it in a tuna fish sandwich. Then you can feel good about eating a piece of lettuce.
Put it in a wrap, and then you could be fancy.
You can have a bunless burger.
Oh,
you
there we go.
You can take a nice, juicy, delicious cheeseburger with melty cheese on top, and then completely crap it up by putting lettuce around it and no bun. Let me ask you a question. How do you get the condiments in there?
You
have to spread the condiments on the lettuce? That's going to leak out.
Yeah, it is.
That's going to leak out. You need a bun to hold the condiments in there.
You need to fold the condiments into the beef before you cook it.
How's that going to work? That
I
would
have
be
no
right.
idea, but now I'm really curious
that would
to try
be
it.
Weird because everyone wants to put different stuff on it.
So well, I'm not thinking of a restaurant. I'm just thinking like at home. You know, like
ketchup and mayonnaise the burger.
Build your beef, and then we'll...
We're calling it the 20-20-20-20-20 burger. You know how Slater's has the 50-50 burger, half meat, half ground bacon? Ours is going to be 20% meat, 20% mayo, 20% ketchup. We're going to build the cheese right into it so it's not a messy cheeseburger.
Okay. There we go.
And then the last little bit of it will be onion, maybe?
Some binder. I don't know. You're going to need something to hold all that together.
A binder. Mm-hmm.
Oh, never mind.
A binder.
A binder.
I would rather eat my hamburger in a binder than
bunless?
Between two leaves of lettuce. That just feels wrong. Coffee. People have been using coffee to eliminate headaches because while your blood vessels expand when you have a headache, it's the caffeine in the coffee is what's called a vasoconstrictor.
Yes.
Anyone who has migraines is very familiar with the word vasoconstrictor. Vasoconstrictors are your best friends in the world. It's not a kind of snake.
No. No.
It's a vasoconstrictor. It constricts your blood vessels.
It makes them smaller.
Which makes them smaller. Which makes the pounding stop.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, your brain can't feel pain. It can't. If your brain was exposed and you stabbed a knife right through it, you'd probably die. But you wouldn't experience any pain first, so that wouldn't be a bad way to go. It's your surrounding material, the stuff between your skull bone and your brain, that's the stuff that feels pain. So that whole membranous thing, keeping your brain in there, I guess, keep it from falling out your nose?
Yeah, something has to.
Well, something has to. That keeps you from sneezing your brain out every time you have the sniffles. That part holds pain. It transmits pain.
Thanks.
So, yeah, awesome. They couldn't just make the whole head pain-free.
You got your skin. That's all you need, right?
You got to be, aware of it when something horrible is happening to you. So you need to be aware of pain.
Think about being, a cave person, right? And you got a migraine. There's no coffee. There's no constrictors.
Vasoconstrictors.
There's nothing you can do. You just sit there and take it.
I'm sure that's what started people bumping themselves off. You know, like in the Dark Ages, they have all these skulls that have these drilled holes in them. That wasn't torture. That was people doing it to themselves, daring their best friend. No, man, I can take it. I can take it. Just drill a hole right into my temple, and then this stupid headache will go away. They actually thought they were letting out evil spirits, and the evil spirits were causing the headaches.
I get migraines, and there are times where
you just want to jump off a bridge.
I just want to put a hole in my head and let all the pressure out. Like that. I just want to just open up and just let it all just come out.
But caffeine can make that go away. It constricts your blood vessels so quickly and effectively that's why they put it in Excedrin, first of all. But if you don't like taking handfuls of pills, drink some espresso.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the nasty flavored thick little black stuff.
And if you drink coffee every day and you don't and you get a headache, now you know why.
Now, coffee can also give you headaches. So you got to, it's give and take with coffee. You know, it doesn't stop people from drinking it.
No.
They know if they drink too much, they're going to get a headache.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, they suddenly stop. They're going to get a headache. If you have 3 cups of coffee every day for years and then all of a sudden you only have one, bingo, headache. So you know what? Wake up at the same time pretty much every day and have the same number of cups of coffee every single day. I mean, why tempt fate?
Exactly. If it works, why change it?
Yep. Almonds, another great source of magnesium.
Oh.
It relaxes blood vessels too. So if you want to go all out, have a couple of cups of watermelon, eat a potato, wash it down with some coffee, and then chew on some almonds the rest of the afternoon.
Put almonds in your oatmeal.
Yeah, okay, put almonds in your oatmeal.
There we go.
You know what? People should just take a pill. If you're getting a headache, just, just take a pill. You know, yogurt, also, it's a great source of calcium and stuff, but it actually helps your body function a little bit more properly. If you're calcium deficient, you might experience headaches also. So pop a calcium pill, eat some yogurt or something like that. Now, foods that cause headaches. Pretty much all the same foods we just talked about. I'm just kidding. if you have aged cheese or chocolate, you know, like that. If you have
Chocolate.
Nuh-uh. Chocolate causes headaches.
What?
Yeah, it strengthens your heart. It's full of antioxidants. Dark chocolate. It's really good for your heart muscle, but it can give you headaches. It's got a tyramine in it.
You always got to pay for something.
Or it also has a phenylethamine.
Phenylethiamine.
Sorry, I missed one of the syllables. I hate it when that happens when I'm trying to pronounce 9 consonant words and I miss one. I feel so dumb.
What is that again?
Phenylethiamine.
So that's why the ladies like it? Feminine thiamine?
Sure.
Okay.
It's feminine phenyl.
That's exactly what I thought it was. That's what I pictured in my head.
Feminine. That's what it is. Alcohol, duh.
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 A hangover.
Come on. Hangover is a headache.
Hangover.
You feel horrible.
You're dehydrated.
It's like having a tiny migraine.
Yes.
And then, of course, tannins. The tannins in the wine. Also part of the alcohol family, but I feel that it deserves honorable mention.
Yeah. Well, tannins are also in grapes, so before it's alcoholic.
Right. The skin.
Yeah, the skin.
Yeah, the skin on the apples or pears or grapes, apple juice, apple cider. They all contain tannins.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just be having like a red wine vinegar salad dressing, and you could get a headache from that.
That's messed
from
up.
Eating a healthy salad can give you a headache. How stupid is that? I hate it when that happens. Anyway, aspartame, the stuff in diet soda.
What is that?
Aspartame. The stuff in diet soda.
Huh.
That will also give you a headache. So avoid those foods if you can. I wouldn't, because all of those foods are great.
I hate diet soda.
Those are the tastiest things. You know who serves amazing food every day made with fresh local veggies and tender meats and lovely grains with no pre-made stuff and no preservatives or MSG?
No, but I want to.
You want to? It's Dine In Tonight. That's right. In fact, since their daily dinner delivery saves you all the time and trouble and irritation of parking, shopping, figuring out what you're going to eat, standing in line, staring at strangers' backsides, whipping out those coupons and bringing all that stuff home, unpacking it, washing all the veggies, probably leaving some crud on them by accident, chopping, slicing, sorting all the ingredients, opening the cans, finding the paprika, burning the chicken, scalding the sauce, which has now separated, and you've over-nuked the broccoli, which is now limp, and woo, why would anybody ever cook for themselves unless they're either good at it or they really, really like wasting money? Dine In Tonight actually saves you headaches every day. All the aggravation and wasted money on all that stuff, now you can get it all back. They make delicious gourmet meals every day. They deliver them right to your door at dinner time. They cook the food. They deliver the food. You eat the food. And they have 100 different entrees, so go ahead and try them all. You pay $10 a dinner, no delivery fees. So call 888-64-MEALS or go online and enter promo code FOODFIGHT to get an extra full week of free dinners. That's dineintonight.com. D-I-N-E. Dine. That's how you spell the word dine. In. I-N. The number 2. N-I-T-E. When we come back after this quick commercial break featuring sales information from really excited enterprising advertisers, we'll be covering more stuff. More and more and more stuff. Don't touch that dial.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating
education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot, gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different and suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm Claire Katz. With me in studio is the big BAMF, Chef Marcus.
BAMF?
What, you don't know what that means?
I have no idea what that means.
Well, I can't explain it on the air, so go Google it.
Okay, BAMF.
It's B-A-M-F. It's badass homina homina.
Homina homina?
Yeah.
Like hominy hominy?
No, M-F.
M-F.
It means badass homina homina.
Okay.
Well, I can't say that on the air. I can't say it, but I mean, you could probably guess it. Don't look at me like that. It's a compliment,
oh,
I think. I'm pretty sure it's a compliment.
I get it now because I have kids.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm getting left in the dust by all these millennials with all their little text language acronyms for stuff. I recently learned what LMFAO means. It means love my furniture and office. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
That's not what it means. It means something very naughty. It means left my fish appetizer outside.
That's messed up.
That's horrible.
It's going to be disgusting.
That's way worse than probably what it actually means. Anyway, today on Food Fight, we're covering Splenda and agave. One's mostly natural, one's slightly artificial, but which one's actually bad for you? We'll find out right now. So, Marcus is first going to explain a little bit of the science.
Quotations.
Air quotes. Air the quote. Science behind Splenda.
All right, so Splenda, they took saccharose. No, it turns into saccharose. Saccharin. The natural sugar.
Saccharin is a natural sugar?
Isn't it?
I think you mean sucrose.
Sucrose. And then it turns into saccharin.
Yeah.
I got it backwards.
Right.
All right, so they take that. What they do is they exchange three hydrogen atoms for three chlorine atoms.
Altering the molecule.
Altering the molecule.
They take some stuff out of the molecule.
Hydrogen.
The sucrose molecule. They remove that.
Uh-huh.
And then they put the chlorine bits back in.
Three, yep.
Thus completing the molecule once more. But now it's been altered.
Now it's been altered. Correct.
What does it do to you?
Supposedly, it does nothing. It just tastes yummy, but you don't get any calories from it. and it goes right through your body without you knowing it.
It has the part of the molecule that is sweet.
Yes.
It just doesn't have the part of the molecule that has the calorie.
That has the energy for you, correct.
Yeah. So you replace that with a horrible chemical,
mm-hmm.
and then you drink it.
Of course, yeah.
Then you can eat it. And so people use that as an artificial sweetener all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then also in the store, you see rows and rows of agave.
Yes.
Which says all natural
uh-huh.
sugar substitute.
Yes.
It's not really a sugar substitute because it is made out of natural sugar.
Yeah, but it again, it's gone through a process. They, even more so than maple syrup, they tap the agave plant, they excrete it, and then they boil it down, they put it through a process to turn it into agave.
That's exactly what they do with maple syrup.
They take a little bit more out with the agave, but yeah, it's a little more than...
They cook it and cook it and cook it until... Because originally, it's watery and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Just like maple tree sap, when it comes out of a tree, it's really watery and clear.
Yeah.
And then they put it in a big pot, same thing they do with agave juice.
Yeah.
And then they cook it down until it becomes more concentrated. It loses a lot of its liquid.
Yeah.
Like, it loses like 95% of its liquid in both cases. It goes from clear, watery sap to thick, syrupy, dark amber-colored sap.
Yes.
That is exactly what they do with maple syrup.
Well, then some part of it we just don't quite absorb as well.
Of agave?
Agave.
And is that because maybe it's a different plant?
Yeah, it might be. It's a different plant, yeah. Different makeup, yeah.
So Splenda, man-made.
Yeah.
Agave, nature-made.
Yeah. Yeah, as much as maple syrup. Yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
As much as maple syrup.
As much as maple syrup.
Everyone thinks of maple syrup as a natural sweetener. It came out of a tree. You can't get much more natural than that. You're squeezing a plant.
Give me your, what is it? Stevia is a leaf.
Well, yeah, but it tastes terrible.
Oh, it tastes like sugar.
It actually tastes worse than Splenda. I mean, the chemical aftertaste is so much worse.
Have you chewed on a Stevia leaf?
No, you know what? I just don't happen to have any free-roaming, weird, random-growing stevia plants in my backyard.
I'll put one in there.
Although, recently I found out I have a rosemary hedge.
Oh.
That's a lot of fun. Makes the yard smell nice. Awesome. So, here's the cheese. Really, here you go. It's all warm and soft. It's been in my pocket.
It is kind of stinky, and I would like you to put that away, please.
We're going
to
compare good, bad, and ugly sweeteners. Just FYI, you need to have this information. Here are what's considered to be a good sugar,
okay.
A good naturally occurring sort of sugar, xylitol, sorbitol, erythritol. These are actually natural sweeteners.
Why do they have such crazy names? I thought you made it like xylitol.
These all sound like horrible chemical names of things that men made that will hurt you. They are alcohol sugar.
Oh, okay. I know xylitol.
They're sugars that are derived from alcohols in the process involved in making things into alcohol. So you know how alcohol isn't inherently sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how separated.
Oh.
So you have that. And xylitol also has, it's been found to prevent cavities.
Yeah. we used to rub some on Rachel's teeth.
It's,
we
yeah.
Get it and let her have xylitol. That.
Toothpaste also works.
Well, yeah.
For that.
But there's sugar
really,
in toothpaste.
Really toxic to dogs.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. Don't ever give your dog any kind of treat or gum or, well, okay. I feel like I'm a little bit too late with that tidbit. Another awesome sweetener we talk about on the show a lot, raw honey.
Yes, I love raw honey.
There's a little problem with honey is that if you have an iced tea and you want to sweeten your iced tea, here's what you're not going to be able to use to sweeten your iced tea. Honey.
Honey.
Not even sugar. Sugar granules won't dissolve for a very long time if you just keep stirring your honey forever. You're going to put a teaspoon of honey in your ice cold tea and it won't dissolve.
No, it'll just hang out on the bottom.
It'll swirl around in some weird amorphous lava lamp type shape all around the inside. It's not going to sweeten your tea.
No.
So that is a good reason why a lot of people, including myself, don't like to use artificial sweetener, but we do because it dissolves in your iced tea very quickly.
Yeah.
So when people tell you, oh, don't eat that Splenda, it's going to kill you. You know what? One Splenda a week in your iced tea is not going to hurt you. Another good sweetener, blackstrap molasses. It sounds like it would be gross. And it is.
Yeah.
Healthy, but really craps up
really,
a cup
molasses
of coffee.
Is healthy?
It is. It's really, really healthy.
Now, the process in making that, that's kind of the leftover.
It's rich in iron, potassium, calcium, and it's a healthy derivative. It's not going to do anything to your guts. It's going to go through everything in your system very cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
Not like Splenda,
Yeah,
which your body doesn't recognize, and it goes right through your body.
It actually also attacks some of the flora in your intestines, which help you digest.
Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah, you have a type of moss.
You know what
moss.
You're not going to do? You're not going to take a perfectly good cup of coffee and put in a big tablespoon of slow, oozing, evil tar-looking blackstrap molasses.
No, use honey.
That would be terrible. You know, if you really want to test the wherewithal of a sweetener, the ultimate test is a hot cup of coffee. If you can sweeten your delicious candy-like coffee with it, like the kind that's got the creamer and the sugar, if you can sweeten your coffee with it and it doesn't make your coffee taste worse than it needs to, that's an okay sweetener in my book. So in your email box, your email, everyone's email, it's probably full of email blasts from health newsletters, MDs, scientists, other people that are probably on the take saying that sugar, stevia, and agave are all bad. I see these things all the time. I always read them because I always want to be well informed for the good folks listening at home. And I think that this might be done to make you feel okay with high fructose corn syrup.
I agree also.
I think they're all on the take.
Yeah.
And this is not a weird Dave the Vitamin Guy like conspiracy theory talking here. This is lots and lots of research into, okay, what do sweeteners actually do to your body? It's, you know what? It's a trick. It's a total trick. So we're going to get into that a little bit more and continue to talk about sweeteners. Why? Because Americans love sugar.
We do.
That's why. Maple syrup is a wonderful sweetener. It has that very noticeable maple flavor, however. So anything you put it in,
you're going to know. Maple.
You're going to know, hey, maple. Did you put maple syrup in my eggs? You know, because you're going to taste it. This stuff is made exactly the same way that agave syrup is made. It's a slightly different plant, and there could be something there. But they're made the same way, very, very simply. Now, more sweeteners. We're talking about sucralose, where it doesn't get digested, which means it goes through you.
Yes.
Now, if you're not going to mind what sucralose is doing to your body, probably something, maybe destroying your intestinal flora, which sounds kind of scary, but it winds up in the toilet.
Everything does.
Right, everything does. But it's a chemical that doesn't break down. Everything else tends to.
Yeah.
So it winds up in wastewater treatment plants. It can't be broken down. In your body, you're thinking, great, it's not going to be broken down by my body. It's not going to get added to my tush. Isn't that good? But it might be ruining the planet. But at least it's not making you fat, right? Because that's important. Sugar. People demonize sugar. Here's what bothers me about people who demonize sugar. That's sugar is bad. It's 50% glucose. And the other half is we don't know what. After like 100 years ago, people had like a tablespoon of sugar per day.
Mm-hmm.
Now people have about 7 or more tablespoons of sugar per day because, well, it's in everything. But the sugar itself isn't bad. Sugar's not bad. If you eat a lot of it, yeah, that's bad. But it's natural. Fine, get the brown kind if the white stuff bothers you, feels unnatural. It's just the quantity. That's bad. And that's true about everything. Beer, bacon, blue cheese. If you eat too much of something, that's bad for you. Sugar is not evil. It's not evil. It comes out of a stupid plant, just like everything else, just like agave, just like maple syrup. Comes out of a sugar cane.
Yep.
It's naturally sweet, just like stevia. If you feel okay eating stevia, there should be no reason in the world why you don't feel okay eating regular sugar. Like I said, get the brown stuff. Don't say nasty, rotten, untrue lies just because people are too stupid and ignorant to, you know, learn the truth.
Yeah, I mean, are they going to start saying food is bad for you just because everybody's
food's bad for you?
Because everybody's eating too much.
Of it.
You're eating too much. Oh,
therefore,
it's bad for you.
Food is bad
Stop
for you.
Eating.
Stop eating. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the new diet. So I read this. People are like researching this stuff. People are getting grants and writing whole books. Sugar is bad.
Sugar is
no.
bad.
Ignorance is bad.
Yes.
Overdoing everything is bad. Do these clowns work for the aspartame business? Big aspartame, as I like to call it?
You can't really make a book about ignorance being bad because the ignorant people aren't going to read it.
Well, the illiterate ones won't read it. But ignorant people read stuff all the time. It's what fuels their ignorance. So their recommendation is that you have to use sugar if you have to use sugar. You shouldn't eat sugar at all. But if you have to, you got to have a little sugar to sweeten your coffee, you know, just put a little honey in it instead. And they're like, you know, learn how to enjoy black coffee. Why? Black coffee is not good. You know, you may wish you liked black coffee, but you don't. And it's like, this is a quote. This is a quote from an MD where I research some information about, okay, sugar's path through the body. It was kind of interesting. I didn't learn anything. I think it made me ask more questions than anything. It says, to my mind, putting sugar in coffee is like putting sugar in a glass of wine. No, it's not, you jerk. It's totally different. When's the last time you saw someone putting sugar in wine? No, but you know what? If you go to a cafe, every single person is putting sugar in their coffee, and no one stares at them like they're some crazy lunatic.
When you said sugar in wine, I just thought of sangria. It's
that's
a sweetened
actually
wine.
Tasty.
Yeah, I was like, well, no, people kind of do that.
Bad guy. This is the bad guy of the sweetener family, high fructose corn syrup.
Yes.
Because of its effect on your body, and it's chemical. It's a chemical broken down derivative from modified corn.
Yeah.
So all it's chemical corn. You're not going to use good, nice, sweet, tasty organic corn to make this stuff. This is the number one bad guy, in my opinion. The only bad guy. Numero uno. Because it's in everything. You'll eat more of this by accident than everything else combined. Eating agave and Splenda and sugar won't ever add up to the amount of corn syrup you're going to wind up taking in. Ever. That's why, because too much of anything is bad. Very, very bad. And that, folks, is your, I don't know, I want to call it a moment of clarification, but I usually do that at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. This is clarifying you on sugar. You know what? If it sounds like a chemical, it might be all natural.
And that is your...
And if it sounds real, like real sugar, agave, natural, stevia, it sounds like it's real, it might not be natural. It's a trick.
It's marketing.
It's a big, stupid, clever trick. You know what? Eat sugar. There is nothing wrong with sugar. There are whole websites, obviously funded by the corn industry, saying, you know, let's dispel some myths.
Let's dispel some
myths that are going around.
Corn syrup is good for you.
About corn syrup and
how good for your face.
How it's the devil. Corn syrup isn't bad. Corn syrup is your friend. These are the same jerks and idiots that once advertised cigarettes as good for you.
Exactly.
And I think there was a picture once of a pregnant woman smoking in an ad a long, long, long time ago. And, okay, of course they don't do that anymore, but people are now just as stupid about different things.
Yeah. Yeah, because people want to sell it to us.
Yeah. So, eat some sugar.
If you
don't want to wait for the sugar to dissolve in your iced tea, put some Splenda in it.
Or make your tea with sweetener than ice it.
Or put some Splendor in it. Next, coming up, we'll be reviewing every Asian buffet you've ever been to or will ever go to. Basically, just get a Yellow Pages, look up Asian buffet, close your eyes, and point. That's the place. That's next on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice.
you'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Blair Katz. So you know that buffet place in your neighborhood? You drive by it every day on your way home from work. You've looked at it, saw the 40% off sign next to the sun-faded banner showing what you think might be a crab. Maybe you've turned and said to your wife, "One day we should eat there." And she looks at the place as you fly on past it and shrugs and says, "Okay." That's the exact place we're reviewing today. Now, I know what you're thinking. How can Claire know what place that is? Has she been spying on us? Did Food Fight Radio hire some greaseball to follow us around, find out what we say and where we eat? I'm not going to dignify that with an answer. Yes, I did. And I'm betting your meal went a little something like this. Firstly, these are very pretty places to walk into, aren't they? There's always a big Buddha fountain or a tranquil koi pond that you're not allowed to touch. A polite hostess in a tight kimono smiles sweetly and leads you to a table in a huge arena-sized room that looks like a high school cafeteria. Except, unlike high school, everyone here is shorter than you. You debate leaving your purse behind to hit the buffet, but leave it anyway and follow the food. Here's where the adventure starts. Grabbing a plate from a spring-loaded stack, you quickly survey the offerings and try to decide where to go first. You can't tell the difference between the desserts and the appetizers, but the seafood looks familiar, so you start there. "This is going to be awesome," you say to yourself, and contemplate bringing along two plates just to be sure you get everything for your first course. Mmm, chilled seafood, crab legs, shrimp. Hey, these have the heads and shells still on. Oh, I have to yank off all those little faces and legs and deterred my own shrimp and get all that crud under my nails and stuff. Oh, great. At least the shellfish is fresh. Maybe a little too fresh. Are clams supposed to be eaten raw? Maybe I should ask someone. But who? Will they just give me a blank stare and say something in Chinese? I don't look Chinese. So why would they answer my English question in Chinese? I gotta find out about these clams, though, so here goes. Well, that didn't work. So moving on to the, baked salmon. That looks nice, a little dry, but if I can just get a piece separated, crud, I got salmon juice on me. That's a tough salmon. Maybe that other fish will, that's not fish. This is starting to seem like less of a good deal. I'll get some sushi and stuff then. You can't go wrong with sushi, right? And some fresh slices of melon or whatever that is. That's strange. That thing over there next to the chicken wings, that looks like flan. Can't be, because why would they put that flan next to chicken wings? There's a whole dessert island over there. If that's a flan, then that's where it belongs. Sure looks like flan. I'm sure it's some kind of casserole or something. I'll just put it here next to my dry salmon and chicken wings. Hey, that is flan. What's flan doing on the meat island? And flan is Mexican. Why is that even here? Great, now I've got flan sauce all over my salmon. I could get a new plate, but these people are starting to look impatient. I'll just eat it. What next, Jell-O and the beef and broccoli? Wow, most of these crab legs look hollow. And apparently you can go wrong with sushi. Looks like I'll have lots of room for dessert. All that cake stuff looks great. Green cakes and pink cakes and yellow cakes and things that used to be cakes but are all rolled up. And Rice Krispie treats. What's that say? Mung bean cake. I thought it was strawberry. Oh well. Everyone else is taking one, so here goes. Lots of little colored cakes here. Rice Krispie treat looks okay. Maybe the third trip is the charm. Cake kind of spongy, not very moist. What flavor is this thing? That's not chocolate. Where's my scalding hot cup of tea? I gotta wash this down. Maybe the Rice Krispie treat next. Good old Rice Krispie treats. Can't go wrong with those. Okay, apparently you can. That's neither Rice Krispies nor marshmallow. Look at this mess. Have I even eaten anything, really? This is certainly not worth $24. My crab is hollow, my salmon has flan on it. What am I supposed to eat? Maybe this harmless looking little dumpling. Oh, what is that? You know what? Fine. I'll peel my own shrimp. Where's the cocktail sauce? You can see photos of our scary and hearty Asian buffet party at foodfightradio.com. Tune in next week for Marcus versus the Fogginator. It's a burger stuffed between two, yes, two, grilled cheese sandwiches. Also, how movies influence your food choices. Anyone see Sideways? And we debunk the stupidest diet tips of all time. All next week on your favorite food show. This is Claire Katz reminding you that eggplant is neither egg nor plant, but it is disgusting.
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos. But I never knew about the little things. Every single day, things get in my way. Someone has to pay for the little things.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.